Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Maths Hysteria, a podcast all about Married at First Sight with me, comedian Omar Abid, and my wife, Claire Limmer Abid. Sarah Clark at Sarah Clark Celebrates on Instagram is still away. So still just us two, unfortunately for you.
Oh, I thought you were going to say unfortunately. That's nice that you added for me.
Yeah. Well, we're more energetic today, I think, compared to the Easter weekend was busy, wasn't it? So we were a bit tired last time.
Yeah, we're tired. I sat on the sofa.
Feeling a bit more sprightly today, I think.
Yeah. And we're following the podcast routine today as well, aren't we? Recording at the usual time.
Yeah.
Sitting at the usual place.
Yeah.
Sort of.
Yeah, you're in Sarah's seat.
Still Sarah's seat. It's easier to get in and out of.
Yeah. Also, we're just a week away from the live... Well, less than a week away from the live
less
show.
Less than a week now.
Yeah. Not many tickets left.
Mm-mm.
Which I'm pleased about.
Yeah.
Because I've been anxious. Not that it's always... It's been selling well from the beginning, but, you know, you don't want to turn up and it's half full or something.
No. Well, it's not going to be.
No.
Judging by those ticket sales.
Yeah.
So if you haven't got them yet and you're planning to join us, please book them.
Yeah.
ASAP.
Go to the Stand website for tickets for Thursday, April the 11th, Maths Hysteria Live. Before we get started on the episode, though, something I wanted to talk about was a minor book review.
Ooh. Is it a book podcast now?
I'm going to go through all the Harry Potters one by one and tell you what I think of them. Paul Carrick Brunson very kindly sent us a copy of his new book. I don't know, a month ago. It was just before Maths Australia started.
Yeah, yeah.
So I started reading it and I said I'd do a book review of it. I would have... Yeah, it's very readable. Spoiler alert, the review's going to be positive. But because my phone's been glued to my hand since Maths Australia started, it's taken me longer to finish than it usually would. But it's interesting. You should read it.
Okay. Am I getting it next before Sarah gets back?
Well, probably you're here, aren't you?
Okay.
Because, to be honest, it's not normally the kind of thing I would read. I think you're more likely to read it than I am.
Yeah.
Why? I don't know. I just assume you're more interested in
life. In love?
Yeah.
Oh, it's romantic.
Well, I like reading non-fiction books, but kind of non-fiction, the last two non-fiction books I've read are one called Poverty Safari. It's about a guy who lives in working class Glasgow, I think it is. The last one before that, maybe Long Walk to Freedom, Nelson Mandela. There's sort of a more political leaning towards the kind of non-fiction that I read.
Yeah.
But what I found interesting about this was it was a lot about the role of relationships in society as well. So it's how fatherlessness affects people and then how that has a knock-on effect in society.
Okay.
Everything's backed up with kind of science, social science. That's not to say it's really like heavy, heavy reading, and you're wading through studies and things like that. But that was the thing that appealed to me about it. It made it feel very, very credible. That being said, if you're picking it up and thinking, I want to know what red flags to look out for, which is what I imagine people will want, most people will want from reading it, there's definitely that as well. There's, it's interesting. And it turns out as well, it's the first in a trilogy.
It's the
Fellowship of the Ring, if you like, part one. I think the next one, he said it towards the end of the book, is going to be about maintaining relationships.
Oh, okay.
So that'd be an interesting read as well, I imagine. I don't know what the third one's going to be. Failing relationships?
Maybe ending relationships?
Yeah, maybe.
Loss, grief?
Yeah, I'm
divorce?
I'm curious to see what it's like. But there's loads of useful things. It's very rereadable, even though I've only read it once. Because there's advice in there which I think you would go back to. I think if I had, you know, more free time, I might go through it again.
Okay.
In practical terms, it's kind of easy to read in that it's 240 pages, but it's quite, you know, it's nice big print, so you feel like you're getting through it.
Yeah, that's, you know, good. I like that.
Chapter breaks at nice intervals.
Mm-hmm.
When you open a book and there's no chapters.
Oh, no.
And it's all just one solid block. Yeah, that's difficult.
My brain can't process that.
So, yeah, I really enjoyed reading it, much more than I thought I might.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so if you're interested in relationships, or even if you're not, Find Love, How to Navigate Modern Love and Discover the Right Partner for You by Paul C. Brunson, available in all good bookshops and Amazon. So, should we get to maths?
Yeah, let's get to maths.
We're going to start with the retreat episode, which picked up where the previous one had left off, with Lauren and Sarah taking Tori away from the group.
Yeah.
Because they were going to tell her all the information.
Yeah.
That Sarah had.
I have a feeling that our discussion about this episode might be a bit all over the place.
Right.
Because there's just bits of different conversations that sort of start in one place with a couple of people, then go to another place with different people, then talked about around the campfire. Mm-hmm. But in between, we've got various things that Lucinda and Timothy are doing, and, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it's going to be a bit all over.
Yeah, well, that's just maths, isn't it?
It's just maths.
Even when you've got two, this week has been distinct in the commitment ceremony retreat episode.
Yeah.
And then for us in this podcast, now we're going to cover retreat episode dinner party. So even when they're quite distinct, like you say, there's going to be lots of jumping backwards and forwards. But
yeah,
I think the best way to make sure we don't miss anything is try and stick to episode by episode. But yeah, you're right. We're going to be a bit all over the place.
Yeah. Lauren and Sarah, because it was boys' night, girls' night.
Yeah.
But they didn't tell Tori about the showing pictures of the ex-girlfriend thing.
No.
Or not that we saw.
No, they didn't. They didn't bring that. Hasn't come up.
Maybe because Timothy wasn't there.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe it's the thing of it has just been too long. When you know how Jack's going to react, you'd think you'd use every bit of evidence at your disposal.
Yeah.
So I think they would bring it up. But yeah, the same way it's not been brought up that we've seen about him saying in the boys' workshop with Alessandra.
Oh, yeah.
That hasn't been brought up again. So far, it's not come back up. How do you think Lauren and Sarah handled that, breaking the news to Tori?
Well, I thought they handled it pretty well.
Yeah.
I don't know how else they could have done it.
Mm-hmm.
Because they needed to be calm and straightforward and tell her in a way of sort of, look, we're on your side, but if somebody knew this about me and my husband, then I would want to know. So we're telling you because we think you should know.
Mm-hmm.
Rather than, you know what he's done now, he's done that, he's done this, ditch him. You know, so they did it in quite a calm sort of we're on your side kind of way. I don't really know how else they could have done it. In a way that, you know, they wanted her to hear what they were saying.
Yeah.
Not just totally disregard it instantly, which it didn't seem like she did.
No. It was strange with Tori because she was clearly shocked.
Yeah.
But I wasn't clear for quite a long time, even going into the next morning when we saw her talking with... Obviously, she spoke to Jack on the night.
Yep.
When the boys came back.
Mm-hmm.
But then the next morning in the room, I still wasn't clear when she was saying she was pissed off about it. I wasn't clear who she was pissed off at.
Yeah. Well, I think maybe by the next morning, she was a bit more pissed off with them.
Yeah.
Or pissed off about the fact that there's constantly something.
Yeah.
There's constantly something that Jack has said or done.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always dealing with this, aren't they?
Yeah.
And she did say something like, I'm starting to have had enough of this.
But she doesn't seem to be able to connect the two things.
No.
Like, when there is always something, and the common denominator to those things, Jack.
Yeah, but in Jack's speak, the common denominator to those things is everybody else.
Yeah. Problem with that argument is, like, there's always going to be everyone else.
No, it's just them.
Oh, right. Okay.
And then the next time it's other people, it'll just be them.
Oh, right, yeah. Out in the real world, yeah. 2 years from now.
It'll just be her friends.
Yeah, just the new, brand new friends yeah. she's made because she's yeah. had to get rid of the third group of friends in as many years. So what did you think of his explanation when she was talking to him? Because we've seen two sort of people obviously having to explain their action/lies. And Jack was the first.
Yeah.
He held it together a bit better than Sarah, I thought.
Well, yeah, but he didn't have to do it in front of the whole group.
That's true.
Not at this point.
That's true.
Because at this point, it was just him and Tori, wasn't it? You know, I mean, it was so predictable, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Apart from the bit about the makeup, I didn't predict that.
I didn't predict the makeup bit, which
That's
is...
That's just stupid.
That isn't a thing, is it? Like...
Well, I mean, they do wear a lot of makeup. They're
right.
on telly.
Yeah.
Probably it's going to come off on your cheek a little bit.
Yeah, maybe.
But I don't think people kiss on the neck instead.
No. Well, I don't think he was... I don't know. Yeah, that's a good point. Was he aiming for the neck?
But then he said something stupid like, I usually just let them come to me.
Yeah, just usually just let them kiss me.
Wow. No thanks.
But if you're out, like, with your mates, if we go out with our friends and one of the lads went to give you a kiss, you wouldn't be thinking, oh, no, my makeup, would you?
Would I be thinking, oh, no, my makeup? No.
Yeah, I just don't think it's...
But was he saying, like, he didn't like the makeup on his face? I don't know.
No, the impression I got was that he didn't want to ruin their makeup.
Because he's so selfless and always thinks about the other person, especially when it's a woman.
Oh, yeah. And then he started, you know, the first, like, sort of drip feeding of classic gaslighting things. Like, you know how I feel about Sarah. You know I can't stand her. I don't think I've even spoken to her.
Yeah.
I was racking my brain to think, have we seen them in conversation? I was going to... To be fair to him, I don't know if we have, but obviously they will have spent some time together some point.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. Well, didn't one of these incidents happen at the gym?
Oh, the spa. Yeah, you're
the
right.
Spa. Yeah. So they've been somewhere together anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Tori was asking him. Apparently, he said she's the hottest bride here. He was like, yeah. I said she's the most striking. You know, like, which I've said to you before, you know, like a red Ferrari.
I just didn't understand what you were trying to get at with that.
Like, when you think of stunning cars, it's almost like a cliche.
Yeah.
I mean, it is a cliche. If a guy gets a red Ferrari, it's like...
having a midlife crisis.
Yeah. Because they're just beautiful cars.
Yeah. And you know everybody's going to look at it.
Yeah. I think what he's saying is that I don't think she's hot, but I get that she is attractive. You know what I mean? He's going into all that world, that world again. I wouldn't want a red Ferrari. I'm happy with you, a Toyota Prius.
No, I'm saying you're talking to me.
I think that would be what he would say his argument is.
Yeah, yeah. Some people might like that.
Yeah.
But it's not what I would like. That's what he would say, isn't it?
Everyone needs to just basically mind their own business. This is where he started well, doing the thing of, we all just need to move on right now. Like, else to be like, immediately.
Like now. Let's draw a line under it now.
Yeah.
We're done now.
But don't just say it because I'm your husband. You have to, like, you know, accept my apology because you want... It's this illusion of choice.
Yeah, I want
choice.
You to really believe it or whatever it was.
Yeah.
But even before then, he did that classic thing of, oh, I'm not even going to comment on that. It's just so ridiculous.
Yeah, that was his opening thing.
Yeah.
I'm not even going to comment on it. It's just totally ridiculous.
It's just ridiculous.
Well, you're going to have to say more than that.
Well, I'm glad she actually said that to him.
Yeah.
I'm glad she actually sort of said, I need more than that, Jack. She has a couple of times, I think, this episode sort of said, no, I'm not having that.
Yeah, she has, but... You know, for all she goes on about being tough, an independent woman, all this sort of stuff, it's like, when it comes down to it, she's bought his bullshit without too much resistance, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then they woke up the next morning and it sort of continued. And Jack was saying, look, I'm happy to be dragged through the mud and just be slandered and all this sort of stuff because you're worth it to me. I put on Twitter that he thinks he's the Dark Knight, you know, the end of the Dark Knight where Batman says, I'll just tell everyone I killed these people because that's better than them thinking it was Harvey Dent who's meant to be the sort of white knight who's meant to save Gotham. It's better to keep his reputation, Harvey Dent's reputation, intact. So Batman will take on that burden because it's for the greater good.
Oh, I'll be the bad guy.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll self-sacrifice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But he's not Batman.
He created it himself.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Did the Dark Knight create this situation in Gotham that he took the fall for?
Well, this is where we're getting into escalation with the whole Batman mythos.
So maybe it is a good analogy.
Yeah, but we'll save that for our Batman podcast.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, he's just, again, trying to give himself loads of credit when these were all problems of his own making.
Yeah, he did it. And then he said something to her, I can't remember what Tori said, but then he said something to her like, yeah, that's very admirable. I find that really attractive.
Yeah.
Oh, it was like, you know, like when Bagel does something good and we go, yes, and give him a treat. It was like that. It was like conditioning, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Like, I'll give you a crumb of a compliment and tell you how attractive I think you are if you do what I have told you to do.
Yeah.
He's done that
a few times. Like, the emotional intelligence on this girl that sort of stuff. And she's not emotionally intelligent. Even I don't even know what that is anymore.
No.
You're not a fan of that phrase, are you?
No, I just feel like people use it a lot. In that same way as I know we've talked about other phrases, but it's come to not mean something like substantial.
Right.
So I suppose at the core of it, if you use it in the right way, it's maybe helpful. But also I sort of don't like the link between intelligence and emotional because they're different. To me, they're different things.
Right.
But, you know, yeah, I'm not a fan.
Well, what we can say about Tori is that she's, I don't know, trusting. For some reason, she's still got this competition mindset. I think this is part of the reason that she doesn't want to believe almost what the girls are saying, because at one point she says, Lauren and Sarah are banking on me and Jack failing. Why?
Why would they care?
Why do you think they give a shit other than you're their friend?
Yeah.
It's like, it's not a competition. It's just because if you fail, you know, there can only be one couple who makes it to the final.
Well, often there is only one couple. Not that make it to final vows, but that stay together at final
vows. Yeah, yeah. It's like, who cares if you make it? Good for you.
Yeah.
But I think she's sort of set a stall out with Jack for some reason.
Mm-hmm.
And now she's reluctant to lose face.
Yeah.
Must be part of it.
Yeah. And then, unfortunately, that really connects with all of Jack's nonsense about them and us.
Yeah,
because then, you know, if you feel you're in a competition with people, it is them and us.
Mm-hmm.
Then he's trying to further isolate her by saying they are out. It's, you know, it comes back later on, doesn't it, with that comment, well, who heard it? Well, you see, of course, it was that person who heard it.
Oh, yeah.
So, because just all them and us, isn't it? And he said something like, people are always out for blood. That's what it's all about.
Mm.
What's all about?
Yeah. When he
life?
Said...
What? Because people are out for blood. Why? That makes no sense.
Yeah. And he said, who heard it? And she said, well, it doesn't matter if it was Timothy. He goes, you see, I've got a target.
That's my point.
I've got a target on my back.
Proves my point.
Oh, that was about the whale thing.
That was
thing.
About the whale thing.
Yeah.
Which but we'll come back to that.
We'll come back to that. But
it's the whole them and us thing.
And it's classic, isn't it? I mean, we've watched a few series of Maths now, and doing that coercive control episode and talking to Mel, the distancing thing from your friends, you can spot it a mile away. Like he said to her, if you have relations in the group, that's great, but you're intelligent. If you stand by me, they should just stay out of it and trust you.
Mm.
You know, trust your... He'd said it at the dinner party as well.
Oh, yeah, about Lauren.
Yeah, don't you trust her?
Yeah. How manipulative is that? But luckily, Lauren was like, no, it's you I don't trust.
Yeah.
Because she's not... Yeah. Anyway.
But the thing is, I think Tori is quite proud to the point of her own detriment, because she's so proud that she can't just admit, oh, actually, a lot of this stuff isn't adding up, really.
Yeah. I've believed him one too many times. I need to draw the line.
Yeah.
The line just keeps moving and moving and moving.
Yeah, yeah. Instead of just that's enough. She said she's 50% to a limit.
Oh, was it 50% just?
Yeah, that's what she said. But that must have been underestimating because she's in front of people, because she's in the group. Because the way she did it as well, with like, I'd say I'm 50%, you know.
Was that before the whale comment?
No, that was after. It was at the dinner, party. Jade asked her.
I don't remember that.
Yeah, well, she'd been asked a few times. Lauren said, you know, what's your...
What's your... Deal breaker.
Deal breaker, that was it. And she said, oh, good question. And then since that question, she asked the question because she knew they were about to tell them about the butt patting and the kissing on the neck. So then since that question, there's been that. And then the whale comments. And she's still only 50% in. And the gifts, which, again, we'll come to.
Oh, God. But also the Sarah is the most attractive girl in the group comment.
Yes, yes.
We didn't know about that.
That's true.
Until whatever point in the episode. But, you know, apparently said that to Tim.
So while Jack and Tori were still talking about all this stuff, the others were doing things like Lucinda and Timothy went to Byron Bay.
Went into Byron.
Yeah, a lot of people walking around barefoot.
Lucinda was loving it, showing Timothy around Byron.
Yeah, they went to trying some swimwear and Timothy had those small shorts on saying, look at me, I'm Jack.
Jack.
It was nice, you know, to see people like having fun, which is sometimes...
Yeah.
It felt really genuine when Lucinda did her... workshop yoga
that was funny
thing and they were all just like messing about.
Yeah, that was really good because Jaden said something like, we need Lucinda in the group to help us do that and have some fun and just have a laugh.
Yeah, it was just a little section basically to show how positive Lucinda is and for the rest of the group. it was nice to see because it was just a bit of filler really, just them messing about, but it was actually a good break from the toxicity and drama.
Yeah, like, oh, they do get on, some of them. That was nice when they're not at a dinner party.
But that kind of daytime, that's when we found out a few other things. But I think firstly Sarah and Tim were at the beach.
Oh yeah.
And she sort of decided now that everything Jack has done is purposeful, because initially she was like, oh, it could have been an accident and that's why I've not said anything, because I wasn't sure. Which, I don't know, I think you know if you know, don't you? Early doors.
Yeah.
When it happens.
Well, yeah, but then do you tell people?
Like,
you might know, but then when you think about telling someone, you know they're going to ask you about it.
Yeah.
So it's almost like you have to be the one to convince other people.
Yeah, true. Again, we said this on the last episode, and this is why it was relatively easy for Jack to... not talk his way out of it, but just not have to deal with any consequences because it's just one person's interpretation versus another.
Exactly.
There's no hard facts. So I suppose I guess why she kept it to herself. But anyway, now she's decided.
Yeah.
It was inappropriate.
Yeah.
Tim, I need you to step up in a way that you didn't when Michael was calling me a biatch.
Yeah, but didn't he just look so unbothered at the beach?
He's just lying on the beach.
Fine, I was on her side then, mind.
Really?
Yeah, the beach. Because she's going, well, did it not bother you? And he's just like blank. Like, that would infuriate me if I was saying to you, look, this man made me feel uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He's commented on how I look to you.
Mm-hmm.
And now, you know, pat me on the bum, kiss me on the neck or whatever. If I was saying all those things to you and you were just lying on a towel, like, yeah. I'd be like, oh my God, why are you not bothered? You should be bothered.
Yeah.
You should show some emotion about that, some passion, some anger, some, like, you know, I mean, she did say you don't have to blow up at him, which I agree with. But even in that interaction between them on the beach, I was thinking, Tim, come on.
Yeah.
Like, tell her, like, oh no, I'm furious with him. That's not all right. Like, you know, he needed to give her something then.
Yeah, it was, he did need, you're right. He did need to show a bit more spirit.
Mm.
And while that was going on, the yoga class has finished.
Yeah, meanwhile.
Meanwhile, back at
the ranch.
Timothy's getting his girls, Sarah and Lauren.
This little crew.
He loves
that's
little...
like the randomest little crew ever.
Yeah. I like Timothy and Lauren together. I don't know about Sarah, which, you know, obviously we'll come to her as well.
Yeah.
And Timothy's telling them, Tristan, feeling a bit awkward around the pool, so I said, come on, let's go down, we'll just lie there for 20 minutes.
God.
And then Jack walks past and says, I see the whales are here today. Which obviously everyone is appalled at.
Yeah. But he wasn't talking to them though, Omar.
He was out of context.
Was out of context. He was talking about Ridge.
Ridge, who wasn't there.
Ridge wasn't there. Oh, right. No, Ridge wasn't there. It was out of context. Don't know the context. Well, who was there? And because Jono had heard it as well, hadn't he?
Yes.
And Timothy was saying to Jono, oh, you know, pulled him aside, as they always do, mm-hmm. talk about the whale comment. And Jono was just repeating back what Timothy was saying. So the whales are out. Oh, so the whales are out. Do you have an opinion on this, Jono?
I did.
Do you want to chip in?
Michael Harmston, friend of the show, sent us a message saying he'd heard to it referred to as Jonatone.
Jonatone, that's perfect, yeah. It is like, he just didn't, I mean, obviously he had some sort of reaction to it. Oh, but then didn't he say something like, yeah, it was rough.
Yeah, that was the most he said about it.
Okay, yeah, it was rough.
It was rough.
Maybe Timothy shouldn't have tried to recruit Jonathan into this. Somebody with more passion.
Yeah, he's not the most dynamic. The questions he asks and the things he says are actually relatively incisive.
Yeah.
But it's hard to break through the Jonatone to actually...
And also, if you want somebody to support you if you're going to confront Jack, don't ask Jono.
Oh, God,
because Jono's track record is, no, didn't hear anything, you're amazing, I love you.
Yeah, yeah.
So maybe get, well, Lauren, he's already got Lauren. But get somebody else.
Yeah, you need someone else to flip if they want to get Jack.
God.
We forgot something, didn't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. In the morning, first thing in the morning.
Before they even went to Byron.
Yes, Lucinda's poem.
Oh.
It was really nice, and I was ready to feel cringe.
Yeah, your biggest cringe factors.
Yeah, but
it was good. Rhymed.
Not all of it, though.
Not all of it. Not towards the end.
No, it was...
And the rhymes were... I don't mind a rhyming poem. But, you know, it had a very different tone to other rhyming poems we've heard on Maths.
Yeah, God. Remember Dean and Tracy doing a rap?
Oh, no. Yes, I do remember it now.
That's a proper throwback. That's like series 5.
That was bad.
That was bad.
That was super cringe, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was really cringe. But this was okay.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't amazing, but definitely for math standard, it was quite high.
Yeah.
And the most importantly, it was sincerity.
Yeah.
And it didn't go on too long.
Yeah. I dare say it was longer. It wouldn't surprise me if it was longer.
Do you think they had to have a toilet break, an interval?
Yeah, the ending seemed a bit, like, rushed. Not rushed, but the ending seemed a bit sudden.
Right.
So I do wonder if it was longer and they just thought, oh, that's a good ending there.
Yeah, that'll do.
Or maybe I can imagine Lucinda presenting a work in progress.
So this is a fourth draft.
Yeah.
But it needs another couple of
this
weeks
is
of work.
As far as she's got thus far.
Yeah.
And she'll give you the rest later. Oh, it was nice. I liked that.
It was nice. I suppose before we forget this as well, another nice gesture while they were out in Byron was matching hoodies.
Oh, we weren't going to forget that, I don't think.
No, for Timothy and Tristan.
Yeah.
It was quite funny when, because this is all bringing us to the meeting around the campfire. Before they got around the campfire, Tristan said, Timothy said, just wait here for a minute. And Tristan said, last daddy went out for milk, never came back.
Poor Tristan.
Which was funny. But yeah, I love their relationship.
That was sweet. I liked that. I enjoyed that. And they look good in them. Look better than matching tattoos.
Yeah, definitely. But that brought us to the campfire.
Ugh, yeah.
Which, you know, it was all built into.
Yep, it was all building to this point where we all get to say what Jack has done to us recently.
Yeah, and it was Tim kicked it off.
Yeah.
He's like, I've got a bone to pick with you.
I love that phrase.
Do you?
I'm glad he used that phrase, it's good.
Yeah, I'm not so sure.
No?
It sounds a bit frivolous.
What would you have said?
I don't know, I've said, we've got to talk about something, I don't know.
Would you have said, we need to have a chat, let me chat, and just chatted.
Say less.
Say less. Anyway, we'll get to that.
So Tim was, previously I've been surprised how articulate he is.
Yeah.
He was articulate and everything, and he said, look, this isn't on.
Yeah.
There's a point where he says, I haven't finished speaking yet.
I'm glad you used that word because you reminded me of something that Tim said.
Oh, God, yeah.
Before he confronted Jack. Tim thinks that Jack is very articulate and very good with his words. Whereas we think Jack is just words, 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 words. Yeah. Just because there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you're good with them.
That's it. He's absolutely not articulate because he talks forever and you still don't know what he's saying by the end of it.
Yeah.
Whether that's deliberate or not, it's not articulate.
No. And you can't believe what he says anyway.
Yeah, it's...
Can you be articulate without any substance? I don't think so.
No, it's just waffle, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just absolute waffle. But it kind of went how we thought it would go because Jack said... You know, look, I don't really remember this, and you know, if it made you feel uncomfortable, there was no ill intention behind it, I can assure you, and I'm sorry if it made you feel that way, kind of thing. And it's like, that's the best you were going to get out of him, because there's no substantive evidence of anything. So, what can they do? Yeah. And once he's given his apology, then you just look like a dick if you keep banging on about it.
Yeah. You're going to have to be the one to draw the line.
Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, I guess Tim sort of did, didn't he? I can't really remember how that bit came to the end.
Well, it came to the end because he gave the apology. And then they went, okay.
And then didn't Jack say something like, thanks for calling me out, Tim?
Yeah, well, this is what happened is that he said, thanks for calling me out, Tim. And in a bit which was cut from E4, but I've put on our reels.
Oh.
Timothy goes, fucking dickhead. I don't believe any of that fucking bullshit.
Well, correct, yeah.
Timothy is excellent. I did think, though, they showed a bit of Jack to camera going, so what I think's happened is Sarah's wound Tim up.
Yeah, twisted him.
Yeah, so...
So he's had to prove himself to her or something like that.
And he's lucky I let him have it.
Ugh.
Which, in a way, not that you let him have anything, but again, just what can you do with that? The information they have, it's circumstantial evidence, if you like. You know, there isn't much more that was ever going to happen than that. That bit of it sort of just drew to a close because he gave his shitty apology. Timothy was like, fucking dickhead. But I think he was so incensed because he knew he had another weapon to bring out.
He had a bigger bone.
Yeah.
He had a whale bone to pick with him.
You were walking past the pool and you said, I see the whales are here today.
But Omar, there's no context.
Yeah.
Do you think the context could be that makes that fight?
Well, I put in a tweet, literally, if there were whales there. That nobody had seen.
Or inflatable ones.
Yeah, yeah. Because the only other interpretation is that he is making a joke or a dig, whichever way you want to put it. That's the only other possible interpretation. Unless there are actual whales there, he is talking about, you know...
He's talking about their size.
He's talking about their size. Now, whether that he thinks that's funny and they're mates and he can have a joke about that, or whether he doesn't like them and think that they're disgusting because of their size, that's the only context. It's either there are whales there or he's having a go.
Right, so if you were on holiday with your mates and you knew that one of them in particular was a bit sensitive about how they looked and didn't really go to the pool and didn't take their shirt off.
Yes.
Would you make a comment like that? Because you banter with your friends because you know what is acceptable to take the mick out of about your friend because you're friends.
Yeah.
So, but do you think you would if you knew that they had... some body image issues, no, as they keep saying.
Absolutely not. This is... Everybody knows this.
Yeah.
It's like, you know your friends. I've got mates who are a bit overweight. Some of them like a laugh about it. Others are a bit sensitive.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got the same person who is gay.
Yeah.
And when he first came out, he was a bit more sensitive about jokes about it. And now he's not as bothered.
Yeah.
And that's how it's changed over time.
Yeah, yeah.
But
you know that.
Yeah, I know that because we're friends. But they're not friends as well. This is the thing.
Exactly.
You only banter with people who you're mates with.
Yeah.
I wouldn't make, from my group of friends, as I say, there's some I might make that joke with, others I wouldn't make that joke with. I definitely wouldn't make it with acquaintances.
Yeah.
I wouldn't do it with people at work, which is what they're essentially doing.
Yeah, that's true. And you wouldn't do it with someone who you'd witnessed in a therapy session. Essentially, that's a therapy session, isn't it? You're witness to it. Talk about their insecurities with how they look. Oh, that's a good joke. This is what I'll do when he finally gets by the pool. Did he even have his shirt off, Tristan? We don't know, do we? But anyway, regardless, he avoids the pool.
This is the bad thing about all this coming up is I did feel bad for Tristan, just how much it was kind of getting raked over.
I know, yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah, it's become a massive thing. Mm-hmm. Which, well, I'm not surprised, though, because people are pissed off. Yeah. And people are pissed off sort of on Tristan's behalf, but on their own behalf as well. Because, you know, I get it. I don't particularly like being around a pool, but obviously I do it because I want to on holiday.
Some principle.
Just on principle. It's my bloody holiday. But if I was around a pool with someone like Jack, do you know, I probably wouldn't go. Because you know he's the type of person who's going to make a comment. And so I think maybe, you know, if Tristan had been around people he felt a bit more comfortable with, he maybe would have been a bit more willing to go and sit by the pool.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
And it's not just, I don't think it's just about, you know, a lot of the other men go to the gym and, you know, they're buff and what have you. But you wouldn't be kind of expecting a comment like that from, say, like Tim. Or no, Rich or no. Jono.
Yeah.
And they're buff and go to the gym and, you know, like their bodies or whatever, I guess. But it's not exactly a surprise from someone like Jack, is it?
Doesn't surprise me at all. Absolutely not. Not a surprise at all. Well, I guess because we're leading into dinner party stuff with that.
Yeah.
I think is apology. But before we leave, unless have you got anything else?
Well, only because, you know, you said about the banter.
Yeah.
And of course, Lauren said, but that's back and forth.
Oh, yeah, I didn't catch that.
Which is the fundamental
definition
of banter.
Until you pointed that out to me, on the sort of second viewing.
Yeah.
I heard her say, banter is back and forth, which is another solid point.
Yeah, which he totally disregarded and then told her to shut up.
Yeah, what's the word when it's not back and forth? Oh, it's bullying. That's what it is.
Exactly. When it hurts somebody else. Yeah. And you say it anyway because you don't care.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, and then he told Lauren to shut up again.
Oh, God.
So then it was, there you go again. Yeah. Dory'd had enough by that point and off she went. I think that was the breaking point.
Yeah. God almighty. Yeah, he told her to shut up. As she was correctly predicted, it's Jack, he'll do something else.
Yeah.
And since he said Jono should put a muzzle on his woman, Jack's done like 14 different things.
Yeah. That and he's going to keep doing it, I'm sure.
Before we leave the retreat, because we had an hour of build-up, and I wondered whether we were ever going to hear what Eden's shocking news that affects the group. It could split the group apart.
Literally the whole group. Everyone is going to be pissed off with
it. I put online that it's going to split the group apart and make us all go to the supermarket to stock up on toilet rolls, change all our online passwords. And it turned out it was just a minor cheating scandal.
Yeah. It was anticlimactic, I think.
Yeah, because you'd seen it before me.
Yeah.
And you said it was anticlimactic. Yeah, it is unusual. I didn't find it anticlimactic.
Did you not?
No, I thought it was a good climax. I was...
You were satisfied?
Yeah.
No, it was anticlimactic for me, Omar. Oh. I apologise. Only because of this whole, it's going to affect everyone in the group.
Yeah.
Well, it didn't, though. Like, it's not going to affect everyone in the group.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I thought it was a bit anticlimactic.
I think Eden was just making a bit much of it. I know she said she gets this like kind of crippling anxiety in groups and all this, and she's probably overthinking it, but I think she was properly building it up too much. About that, you know, I'm either going to lose all my friends or I'm going to. It's like, just not that bad. And you've pretty much, you've got a bang to rights. It's like.
I know, but also, do you not think that was a bit overacted as well? I'm going to either lose all my friends or I'm going to lose Jaden.
No, that's
if
what I'm
Jaden
saying.
Jaden would ditch you for that.
Yeah.
Then he's not that good a partner. It's your choice whether you tell somebody what information you've got or not.
Yeah.
And if Jaden was going to ditch you as a partner, then how much does he value you anyway? he has to support the choice that she makes.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. No, that's what I mean. I think she was building it up too much, maybe in her own head.
Yeah.
About the consequences of revealing that information or not revealing that information. It's a moderately big deal, but it's not as big a deal as she was making it. But, you know, I sort of wasn't surprised when she said that she has anxiety in these social situations.
Cause yeah.
When we first met her before the wedding, she seemed like a bit of a loner because of the history with her own ex and things like that.
God, yeah. Well, because she's had to ditch all of her friends.
Yeah, that's...
She doesn't trust any of them. Funny thing to do, go on maths if you've got social anxiety.
Well, I mean, there's a lot of... So you could say it's a funny, you know, why have they gone on there, but...
Good challenge, though.
Yeah, I suppose.
I guess if you want to challenge it and try and overcome it, then, you know...
I know, but that's like...
You're in a lot of social situations.
Yeah, I can't swim. I want to learn to swim. I'll start by doing the channel. That's a bit... It's a bit extreme.
Well, hello from Nicaragua. I hope the acoustics are right. I'm hiding in a bathroom so the rest of the family can sleep. I would like to start by saying thank you to Claire and Omar because they gave me a very sweet card and present for my birthday, which is today. And I spent the last night of my 30s watching maths to try and catch up on all the drama. So the last thing I did as a 30-something was watch Jack be a knob, which is a bit depressing. And yeah, to talk about Jack and the Jack and Tristan situation, I mean, it's an obvious point to make, but it's not banter if you're punching down. Like, he just didn't have a leg to stand on. That is not banter. And then he kept contradicting himself because he was like, oh, I've been cut up about it, I couldn't sleep. Well, which one is it? Did you know it was wrong or was it just banter? Ain't that line when people go, oh, it's a joke, it was just a joke, because it puts the onus on the other person to make them feel like they don't have a very good sense of humour. So like, oh, it's just a joke, so you're an idiot if you don't get it and you're sensitive if it upsets you. But saying like, what Jack said is just horrible, and poor Tristan, like, it was probably the worst thing he could have heard with his self-esteem issues. And Jack's, like, as everybody keeps saying, Jack is a personal trainer. Like, please nobody hire him after this. One thing I thought was quite interesting with Eden was she said a couple of times everybody knew that her ex was cheating on her, and then she cut out of her life everybody who knew. So she must have, like, bless her, she must have stopped talking to a lot of friends and had a complete shift in, because we know her ex cheated on her with her best friend. So in one fell swoop, she lost her boyfriend, she lost her best friend, and then she also stopped talking to all the people who knew. So she must have just had, like, a brand new chapter in her life with just brand new people.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Before we get to the dinner party itself, obviously they're all getting ready in the apartments, and that's where we heard about Jade and Ridge.
Yeah.
Going out deal. Together and Ridge meeting Jade's daughter, Victoria. It is a big deal. It seems very early, but I mean,
it does.
I've no barometer for they seem to be going along great, so, you know.
Yeah. I guess, though, in the grand scheme of things, it's only been a few weeks.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's like, it's only a few weeks. And you don't really know, like, somebody put in response to that on Twitter that you don't know how he was introduced. Maybe it was just a passing thing, really, you know. It would be like, oh, this is my friend Ridge, you know.
Yeah.
And then he's gone off to go to the gym or do whatever he's doing, and she spends time with the daughter.
True.
But it's, you know, it's a massive step.
Yeah. And she was impressed, wasn't she, by kind of how he sort of dealt with it, so to speak, but how he was with her. And
yeah, it was nice to see a bit more of Jade, actually, towards the end of the episode. to see more than just her talking about how successful the relationship is with Ridge. Not because I'm bored of that, but just because I kind of want to get to know her a bit more.
Yeah.
We've not really seen too much of her. And then they were all in the taxis on the way to the dinner party. We saw Jack repeatedly check in. If you wear a shirt that tight in Australia...
And that colour.
He's like a big... Jack sat there with his nipples like a big glazed Christmas ham. That's a good line.
That was brilliant.
That's one of the best lines of the of the series.
Yeah. Well, because we saw Lauren and Jono in the apartment.
Yeah.
And then we saw Tori and Jack in their apartment.
Yes.
Before we set off for the dinner party.
And Lauren wants an apology. Wants to get an apology from him, which is just not going to happen.
No, I know.
I admire her.
Not a sincere one.
No. It's like you're banging your head against a brick wall.
Yeah.
I admire her effort, I guess.
Yeah, determination.
I also wonder how much effort she's putting in with Jono. I think they said the retreat was good for them.
Yeah. Well, they were talking about going to Perth, weren't they?
Oh,
and
yeah,
going to
yeah.
Beach and
so, yeah, that's true. I guess maybe in the taxi or the night before, this is when Eden and Jaden concocted the plan of saying that he'd seen the messages. He'd seen Sarah's messages because obviously she told him they were sat on the grass at the retreat.
Yeah.
But then by the time they brought it up with Sarah, they were saying, Jaden saw the messages. So it was an accident, but you've seen them. So now I'm in a position where someone else knows I've got to kind of do the right thing. And I agree it's the right thing to do is to bring it up with you. So they've concocted this little plan. But this is, it's a lie.
Yeah.
But it's one of those lies where as long as your partner doesn't rat you out.
Jaden better not.
Yeah, this is a thing of like, you know, you make social or you don't want to do social plans and you just say to that person, sorry, my husband or wife is at work so we can't.
That literally never happens.
And unless your partner rats you out, how is anyone going to know?
Nobody's ever going to know.
So that was the little plan they came up with. We also saw Timothy getting upset for Tristan. He can't stop crying now.
Did he cry?
Yeah. He was just to camera. He was like, remember he had to turn away.
Oh, no, I don't remember that.
Oh, right, yeah. It was just in the build-up. He was like saying, I feel really... feel sorry for him because I know how much it bothers him and how insecure he is. So he was upset on his behalf.
Dreadful. Oh,
the only other bit really from the beginning of the dinner party. Well, there were more bits from Lauren actually. I'm not sure about her dog training.
No, that's not how you toilet train a dog. Don't do that.
Don't rub its face in its piss.
No, it's disgusting.
Unless it's gaslighting the other neighbourhood dogs.
No, poor little baby puppy. You don't want to do that, do you? You just have to stand outside with it for hours.
Yeah.
Days and days and hours and hours. And then give it lots of praise. No, I didn't agree with Lauren on that. I did agree with her when she called him a slime ball and then it pictured him just checking his sweat patches over and over and over.
The only other bit, I think, from the sort of cocktail party bit, Andrea coming in. And Richard, we knew straight away it's going to be because he's ill.
Yeah,
he had that cough at the last commitment ceremony.
Well, we didn't see much of him at the retreat, even.
That's
true.
I mean,
he was there, wasn't he? Like, we saw him in some of the group situations, but didn't hear from him very much.
No.
So I think maybe he wasn't well at the retreat either.
But then, to be fair, he looked like he was living what to me is an absolute dream. Just sit on the settee and watch TV. Oh God, I wish I was ill.
Just get the box set out.
Yeah, exactly. Just
what he was
guilt-free, just sitting there watching telly. Don't have to do anything else. It'd be brilliant.
But the other bit that I quite liked, entrances to the cocktail party, were when Jack and Tori walked in.
Yeah, that was cold.
That was cold.
That was worse than even when Ben came in.
Yeah, it was.
Last week. It was bad. Oh, I wanted to ask you, because I know obviously normally you and Sarah would talk about fashion, but there's been a lot of people saying that was Lauren's best look, the red dress.
Oh, the red. That was good. Yeah, it was nice.
Yeah.
Our best look? That seems unfair maybe that it's our best, but it was a good one.
Well, is that unfair as a compliment?
Yeah, I know. I liked Sarah's dress. Black number.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah, okay. Sarah's we're not getting into it
so
as much
as... So it's not going to work, is it?
Just me going,
Yeah, great. Good luck. Yeah, but Lucinda was the only one that... First one that went over to Jack. You can rely on Lucinda if there's any, like, awkwardness, can't you?
Yeah.
And then he said something like, oh, yeah, it's been hard.
God,
but
yeah.
But I'm okay.
Well, let's get into it, because then this is the next thing that happens. There, not much really happened at the cocktail party mix a bit.
Mm.
But then as soon as they sat down at the tables, Jack was up, got Tristan, and got Timothy as well.
I don't understand why he did that.
Well, he was there. He was considered one of the whales.
He was considered one of the whales, but was Jack only sorry, air quotes, to Tristan? Because Timothy didn't get a key ring and a supplement voucher. So he's not bothered what Timothy thinks.
Again, you'd seen this episode before I had as well. You were telling me there's something on there. I'm so outraged.
I couldn't have been more
I wish
enraged.
We had it on film. I wish we had your reaction on film.
I couldn't have been more angry. You know, there was a point.
It's what men do, take supplements.
It's what men do. Oh, my God. There was a point, I think, when Tristan was talking to the camera at the retreat about the comet, and then he just goes, oh, whatever. Because there's just no words. I just don't have strong enough words for how angry I was about this whole interaction between Jack and Tristan. Jack's like, yeah, just let me have a chat.
Yeah, say less.
Say less. Oh, my God. How didn't Timothy... totally lose his shit.
When they kept cutting to Timothy and he's like, I think he's actually going to start fitting him. He was so angry.
How didn't he?
Yeah, I know.
I think he was just so shocked.
I think it was partly shock, like disbelief at what's going on, but also he's Tristan's his guide there. If Tristan's doing okay, he maybe thinks, I don't know, maybe it's best to just...
But I think it made it worse that Tristan just bought it so quickly.
Oh, it did.
And just totally again, he just flip-flopping all over the place. Like,
Tristan wants an easy life.
I know, but...
I know, like, you've got to stand up for yourself a bit.
He could just say, all right, Jack, fine, I just want to leave it there.
Yeah.
But he's like, oh, you're amazing, I love you, you're such a great guy. It's like, what?
Yeah, what are you on about? It reflects a bit poorly on Tristan, to be fair, that he swallowed that. That he took those supplements. He took the Jack supplements.
God.
As a gift in itself.
It's shit.
The best gift would have been a genuine apology.
Exactly. And if you think it's banter and you didn't mean anything by it, why are you overcompensating with presents?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's like you totally just... You can't stick to one thing.
Yeah. Because he's got this, I don't know, playbook in his head of like... Same as Brad, like, from the UK one. You know, if I'm wrong, I say I'm wrong. And, like, I'm not afraid to admit I'm wrong because that's part of growing. That's part of life's journey. I'm like, oh, shut the fuck up. You don't think you're wrong. That would all be true if it was genuine.
Yeah.
That is part of life's journey.
Well, yeah, so if Lucinda said that, you'd believe her.
Yeah.
You'd believe that you wanted to learn and it's all part of life's journey and it's a tapestry that we weave. You'd believe her.
Yeah.
But when it's Jack, you just think, but you are not going to learn from this. You're going to do the exact same thing, but you're going to make sure the right people hear it wrong people don't.
I wouldn't have said it around Timothy.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you would say it.
So you would say it around Tristan
and
you would say it again because Tristan wouldn't have called you out on it. Or held you to account on it because he wants an easy life and he probably just wanted to try and forget the comment was ever made.
Yeah.
But Timothy will tell you. So next time, just make sure Timothy doesn't hear. That's what he's learned from
Yeah, that's what he's learned from it. It was appalling. It was really horrendous. Appalling. I think it's one of the worst things I've seen.
Yeah. Yeah, he doesn't understand that banter's back and forth. He doesn't understand that a chat is back and forth.
Mm-hmm.
He seems to think that he's so great at his job.
Oh, God, his job.
Because it makes it wholesome.
His job.
It makes him wholesome and who he is.
Yeah. Oh, God. Like, yeah, I don't know where to start with the job, because we had this discussion, didn't we? Because they kept bringing it up. Just because you're a personal trainer, the example I used was, just because you're a doctor, it doesn't mean you're empathetic.
Yeah.
Harold Shipman's a GP.
Like, yeah, exactly. Just because you're a teacher, it doesn't mean you like kids.
Yeah.
But and part of me thinks you can be a personal trainer who's very body accepting.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your mission is to help people feel healthier.
Yeah.
And feel the benefits of exercise in terms of mental health, feeling healthier in your body, feeling fitter, longer term health. So you can be that type of personal trainer, or you can be the type of personal trainer who just wants to go to the gym and pose and make people worship you.
Yeah.
And then you get to tell them what they should do so that they also can look good.
Mm-hmm.
And I think probably that's Jack's style of business. Doesn't mean that you're accepting of various body types.
Well, he's clearly not, is he?
He's clearly not, because what you need, Tristan, is some supplements to help you lose weight, because you are a whale. Yeah. It's basically what you're saying to him.
Don't ever forget to look at your keyring, because you are enough, but also take these supplements.
You're enough as you are, but don't forget to work on being different.
Yeah.
Because you need to be different.
Yeah.
Because I said
not so. Not better, just more like me. Actually better, just like, you know, with abs and shit.
Yeah, but you'll still never be as good as me. It was just awful.
Jack was happy with what came next, because it took the heat off him.
Yeah.
Which he would have been happy about, because he was sweating like a fucking pig.
He's even more red. He was orange and red.
Eden and Jaden took Tim and Sarah aside and gave her the ultimatum. Either you tell Tim what you were doing last weekend, or we're going to tell him.
Yeah.
Because when it started, like, they were saying, oh, well, Jaden and I have been like bickering or whatever all this weekend. And Sarah's face was like, oh, right. Oh, I didn't even notice. Like, wonder, because that's where I thought, right, they've come up with this lie about Jaden seeing the message, because they can say, oh, there's some tension going on because of, and then they're revealed.
Because he was there when you were messaging.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So Sarah just must not have seen it coming, which makes sense, because she must be a fucking idiot.
I said this to you, didn't I? Because she came with no cute clothes.
Right, yeah.
She came to maths with no cute clothes at all.
Yeah, so firstly, she couldn't just wear any of the things that she had to go and meet her ex.
No.
She had to get something from Eden.
Yes.
But then also, in getting something from Eden, she had to tell her that she was going to meet her ex.
Yes.
Days in advance.
Yes. And do a shh.
Do
emoji.
A shush emoji. Then she said, oh, I've lied, by the way. I've lied to Tim.
Yeah, I'm not puppy sitting. Yeah,
just so you're fully apprised of the situation. Yeah. I've told him I'm puppy sitting, but I'm not.
Yeah. Don't tell anyone.
Yeah.
Because I forgot I'm on maths.
Exactly. Why is she... fucking hell.
I don't know. Either she just is so delusional that she doesn't believe that she will ever get into shit for it. Or she's just, like, not really clever enough to cover our tracks.
Yeah, this is what I'm thinking. She's an idiot. I think
because she also then said she was out with other people. Lots of people were out. Well, why wouldn't you just say to Eden, I'm going out with some friends?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, there's so many layers that she went through as it's the... onion started to fall apart.
I mean, it crashed.
Yeah. It started with, I ran into my ex. It was like, oh, you didn't run into
it. Eden was having none of that.
Yeah.
No, Sarah.
Eden was very firm.
Yeah.
Which was surprising given her, you know, anxiety about the whole
She was very composed, I thought.
She did was, really yeah. Well. I think once she had that backing of Jaden.
Yeah, it's true.
I told him it was a friend's birthday. It wasn't a date. You know, it's been eating away at me. And that's where Tim was like, this is bullshit.
Yeah.
It's bullshit. It's been eating away. There was no way she was going to tell him anything. Why would she?
Of course she wouldn't. She thought she'd got away with it.
Yeah.
Which maybe if she hadn't just borrowed some clothes from Eden, she would have.
Yeah.
Wear the nice clothes you've got.
Like, so she booked...
This is the lesson here for you, Sarah. You own enough nice clothes. So just wear them. Then you can do what you want. People don't need to know.
Well, she booked off the full weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So imagine you need the full weekend to puppy sit.
Exactly. Oh, well, you would, yeah, and you'd need the full weekend to puppy sit. But she wasn't genuinely puppy sitting, was she?
No, we should put that.
Because she also told Eden that was a lie.
I mean, and then it came out, because then Tim walks off. Mm. She didn't even acknowledge Tim during the whole...
No, she's just trying to explain herself to...
Yeah.
Explain the situation and how she hadn't done anything wrong to Eden and Jaden. But was it during that conversation they were doing the flashbacks?
Yeah, that's where they were doing the...
I like that.
A new stuff, like the new things, one of the new production things from this year, there's kind of cutting back to her not doing the phone challenge.
Yeah.
Cutting back to them talking about her not coming on any of the dates.
Mm-hmm.
It was, and then flashbacks they were doing there was another bit where Eden was anxious and they were like, she was upset and they were intercutting it with like people laughing.
Like a horror film.
Like a horror film, yeah. As her anxiety was building.
She's the only one that knows there's something wrong.
Apart from Sarah.
Yeah.
Who doesn't think there's something wrong. Another theory somebody's put on Twitter was that pretty privilege and also combined with girl code. You know, that thinks, you know, that she's kind of above the concerns of lesser good-looking people. Well, just because she's pretty, I don't know if she can get away with it. I suppose maybe in hindsight that theory doesn't hold much water.
Well, I don't know. She obviously thought it would.
Yeah.
But also, we don't know what Tim's going to do.
That's true.
I mean, we're just imagining he's going to write leave.
Yeah. Oh, that was funny,
but
Andrea.
Knows? He might not.
Andrew just like, you should just write leave.
Yeah, just piss off.
Yeah, when she said
like,
piss
whoa!
Off.
Andy? Although to be fair, she said that to the camera, I think, not to Sarah.
Yeah.
But to Sarah, she was saying, you should just leave. Why don't you just leave?
Yeah. The group reaction.
Oof.
When it was like, no, we've not been on a date. It wasn't a date. He's actually got a partner. They've been together for six years. They've got a partner. And then when she was away from the table and she's like, yeah, can someone get me some wine?
Can I have a glass of wine?
And then Tim goes, she told me she slept with an ex a month before the experiment starts. Yeah. And then she came back to the table.
But I thought he had a girlfriend. Oh, no.
No, they broke up.
No, but they're on again now. Oh, no, I've just had a text. They're off again.
And Lucinda's question was so funny. It was like, so how long have you been comfortable with adultery?
Well, I'm not if it's me, but if it's me and someone else, yeah, I am. That
absolutely
was
horrendous. She could not.
Just say less.
Say less. Absolutely. And then the final bit was, you know, people saying, oh, it's a question of ethics and morals. And then she lost it because this is, as the expert said, it's her fight style. She was just like, who is that cheated?
Yeah.
Raise your fucking hands. Yeah. Like, and everyone was just like, I haven't cheated. Imagine.
But even if they had, I'm not going to raise my hand to support you in this precise moment.
Exactly. I can imagine someone like putting the hand halfway up and then just being slowly lowering it as they see no one else is doing the same. Yeah. Absolute desperation. When you're caught out like that, you just got to unload the full thing.
Yeah.
And just take your medicine.
Nothing she was saying was making it any better.
No.
Everything she said made it worse.
And she's just absolutely... Her credibility's wrecked anyway.
Yeah.
So you may as well just rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah.
And just tell the whole truth.
Yeah.
From the beginning.
Yeah. She could have had some credibility still.
Mm-hmm.
If she had said, look, Tim, I shouldn't have done it.
Mm-hmm.
It was a complete error in judgment. You have to trust me that nothing happened.
Yeah.
He was out with some mutual friends.
But I don't even believe that.
Well, no, I know.
That's it. Might have been the case.
It's true, yeah.
Well, it clearly wasn't a spontaneous meet-up between two groups of friends, which is what she said at one point.
She started to try and say, yeah, that's true.
But the thing is, there is some legitimacy to having a bit of sympathy for her. If she'd have gone down the road of, obviously I fucked up.
Yeah.
And I lied to you.
Yeah.
But is someone who, as you know from what I've told you before, if you can still believe what I've told you, I've had a toxic relationship with and I've gone back to him before.
Mm.
You know, like you were saying, well, why would you say you're still friends with him? It's like, he's obviously treated you badly, but she's kept going back.
Yeah.
So there's a pattern of behaviour there that you sort of have to, you know... Sympathy, is that the right thing? But it's at least a more of an explanation.
Yeah, yeah.
You could say, yeah, look, obviously we're done, but you've got issues with this guy, which I don't want to have to help you overcome.
Yeah.
I feel sorry for you, but fair enough, you know.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
we're not going to roast you. We're not going to haul you over the coals because you've got some toxic pattern of behaviour with this guy.
Yeah. But I just think if you... I can't understand being friends with an ex who treated you really badly.
Mm-hmm.
It's like she wants both things. She wants some sympathy and some understanding from Tim for how she is in their relationship because she was treated badly in past relationships.
Yes.
But she also wants to be friends with that guy still.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you have to make your choice. So if he's treated you that badly and you're still wounded by that and you're bringing those wounds into this new relationship, but you still want to go and spend time with him and hang out with him because you're friends.
Yeah.
You can't have both those things.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's the bit that's just not okay. It's like she just wants Tim to go, oh yeah, that's completely fine that you're friends with this person that treated you badly. But also I'll help you deal with the aftermath of how badly he treated you.
Yeah.
You can't have both of those things.
Yeah, and also knowing that you've had sex with him as recently as, you know, a month ago or whatever. Well, it must have been, I guess, 2 months previous, because that's sort of a point that Jade was making, wasn't she? It's like, we're not in week one.
Yeah.
You're in week five. You know where you stand now.
Yeah.
You should know where you stand with Tim.
Yeah.
In which case, like you say, you've got to decide one way or the other if you want to be with your ex, even if that means being the other woman. And, you know, interfering with his current relationship of 6 years, whatever state that's in, then, you know, fine, do that. But you don't need to...
Expect him just to sit around and be there whilst you do.
Yeah, yeah. We had a little glimpse backstage as well. I think it's first time this year that we've... They've wandered off behind...
Tim went to the toilet.
He went to the toilet and then...
I don't know where Sarah went. Somewhere she was just, where there's just a random chair.
And then she was like, I want to leave now.
Do you know what that reminded me of? I want attention. I need attention. Give me attention. It was like that, wasn't it? Yeah. I want to leave now. I want to leave now.
One important moment, I think, which we loved was them cutting to Cassandra.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was brilliant.
Lying is her second language. She's just fake. Her history is shady. Her actions are shady. She says she cares about Tim. She doesn't. She cares about only one person, and that is herself.
Boom.
She gave a little Mic smile drop. To the camera.
Yeah.
I mean, she's been waiting for that since that. It's Sarah. Dinner party.
She's actually
been waiting for that moment.
Yeah, good for her.
Yeah. Kick her while she's down.
Let's all gang up on her as a group. We'll cast her out.
Well, will she be cast out? Do you think they're both going to put leave?
She might put stay.
That'd be brutal.
I think she might. Because, you know, she'll do the whole thing of, we had such a great time and I made this error of judgment, but we've been so close and the retreat was really good for us. And
she might, you know, she might. She might do the thing where she says, well, I don't want us to... I know the romantic thing might be gone, but I don't want us to leave on bad terms.
Oh, God. That's life.
Yeah. It's like the, you know, the... What's his name? Stephen thing of like, well, you're the one who's storming out. I'm saying,
Let's
be friends. Well, I don't want to be friends with you. You're a dickhead.
You shouldn't be friends with people who treat you badly.
Yeah.
Sarah.
You're right, though. You know, I can see that happening.
I think she'll put stay.
My favourite one-liner of this last couple of episodes is between Ridge saying, we've got more chemistry than the periodic table, Lauren saying about Jack, he shits me to tears, and then I think the winner is Cassandra, lying is her second language. Cassandra comes out with some classics sometimes. I mean... It was appalling, appalling behaviour from Sarah. Tim noticed. She didn't once ask if Tim was okay. She didn't once even look at Tim. She didn't once reach out to put a hand on his leg. She didn't once check how it had affected him. She just was trying to manage, you know, firefight her own reputation. Oh, and then she was like, I need a glass of wine. I thought she was going to say glass of water. I need a glass of wine. I mean, Tim, it was really gratifying to see that Tim did get what had happened. He wasn't taking her apology. He wasn't letting her play it down. He believes that she was cheating on him, and he believes that she's not sorry.
So we've got the commitment ceremony coming up, and I think, I'm not certain, but I think next week's also going to be feedback week, where they swap partners.
Oh, okay.
And like give each other feedback, give each other advice.
For two episodes.
I assume so, yeah. I think it's going to be commitment ceremony, two feedback episodes, dinner party.
Okay.
Next Thursday.
Next Thursday, where we will be watching it live at the stand.
We will, yeah. Until Tuesday, I've been Omar Abid.
I've been Claire Limmerabeed.
We're going to go do some puppy sitting. Genuine puppy sitting.
No, we're not. It's getting looked after.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.